So today we're going to continue the third reading, which we started yesterday. And the beginning of, pardon me, the fourth reading, which we're actually up to today. Yesterday we talked about the date, Chodesh HaShlishi, arriving at Sinai, camping at Sinai. And now we're up to the next morning. So all this takes place on Rosh Chodesh Sivan or Aleph Sivan. On the second day of Sivan, the Torah says, "Umeisha Allah el ha'elekim." Moshe goes up to God. So, what does that mean? He goes up to God. Rashi says, "Umeisha Allah bayeim hasheni." This is on the second day of Sivan, the day after they came, the day after they arrived. V'chol aliyes of bahashkama hayu. All of Moshe Rabbeinu's ascensions, going up the mountain, were always in the morning. Which proves to us this has to be on the second day. Because if he always went up early in the morning, how could he be on the day when they came? They wouldn't have come early in the morning. It would take time to camp and prepare. It would be late afternoon at best. And because it says, Maisha Allah, we can understand from this that it has to be early in the morning, so it's the next day. Shanemar, how do we know this? Because later on, when we speak about the whole business with the golden calf, it says, Vayashke Maisha Baboiker, Maisha woke early in the morning, and it says that he went up Mount Sinai. So there it says, Vayashkem, he woke, and it says, Baboiker, in the morning. So we understand that whenever Moshe went up the mountain, it was always early in the morning. Now Rashi seems to accept, almost at face value, that if it says Moshe Allah, then Moshe went up, you go up a mountain. You go down a valley, you go up a mountain. Aye, it says, Moshe Allah, Elo Elikim, he went up to God. Okay, he went up to God, because the mountain was the mountain of God. So the Ibn Ezra actually spells this out. And he says, Moshe went up to God? What do you mean went up to God? How do you go up to God? So the Ibn Ezra says that Olah Lahar Olekim. It's a euphemism. It doesn't mean went up to God. He went up the mountain of God. Which I think Rashi would kind of say is implicit. The Ramban says the reason that it would be called Moshe Olah Olekim is because since the Shekhinah was already on the mountain, and as Rashi tells us elsewhere, there was already a cloud hugging the mountain summit. So there was a clear and visible evidence of the Shekhinah being there. So when Moshe goes up the cloud, it's reasonable to say he's going up, so to speak, to God. Although the Sefarno maintains that Moshe didn't go anywhere. He says this was all in his mind. He prepared himself to receive the word of Hashem. Moshe Allah means he elevated himself. But that does not seem to be the Pshut Lashon Mikra in any way, shape, or form. Now, we have a famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on page 88 that talks about Moshe Rabbeinu's arrival in the heavens and the challenges that he got from the angels. When was that? So it seems that this was today, on the second day of Sivan, not an actual day of Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu comes up the mountain and the angels say, Mali Elud Isha Beninu, what's going on here? A mortal. He was born of a father and mother. He's not one of us. What's he doing here? And he says, he came to get the Torah. He came to get the Torah. And then there's this whole obstacle course Moshe has to go through. And they throw all kinds of things in his way. He can't do this. It's not the right thing. Torah should be with us. Torah shouldn't be on earth. And God says to Moshe, respond to them. And he does. And when he rebuffs their arguments, it says that the angel showered him with gifts. The angel of death showered him with the knowledge or the gift of incense. So Moshe Rabbeinu was actually able to prevent the angel of death when a plague unfolded for the Jewish people later on. Anyway, this is a little background of what's going on here. You don't see this in the Pasuk, but that's what the oral tradition tells us. So Moshe goes up the mountain, and Vayikra Elov Hashem Min Ha'har, God calls from the mountain. Lemer saying, now, when does God call from the mountain? When does this happen? Rashi, once again, does not talk about it. However, the Ramban, following his line of reason that Moshe went up the mountain, meaning went up to God, means up the mountain. When he came up the mountain or closer to God, that's when God spoke to him. Ibn Ezra says, how could Moshe go up the mountain and penetrate the inner sanctum, if you will, of the mountain summit where God's presence is without permission? He says, actually, the verse should be inverted. God called to Moshe, and Moshe went up the mountain. Of course, the problem is it doesn't say that. The problem is it says, Moshe Allah, Elo Elikim, Moshe went up to God, Vayikra. Now, we do have verses that sometimes you have to transpose. It's called Sarsehu. You have to kind of cut and paste, or change the verse a little bit. But Ramban does not necessarily subscribe to that. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu knew what he had to do. He was told to come here. This is what they're waiting for. They anticipated this. He went up the mountain. He went. This is what it was all about. This is the moment they're waiting for. Ibn Ezra says no. Ibn Ezra is very practical. He says Moshe wouldn't do anything without explicit instructions. So at any rate, whether God said come up the mountain, and then he told Moshe the rest of what we're about to read, or he goes up the mountain, and then God tells Moshe this message, which is seems the more reasonable way, at least from Rashi's approach. Moshe goes up the mountain, and God speaks to him. What does he say? Koi soimar leves yankiv. Here is how you should speak softly to the children, to the house of Jacob. In other words, you're going to introduce Matan Torah, you're going to recite or say or convey the lessons in a gentle fashion. You're going to speak softly. V'sageid livnei Yisrael. And you're going to be blunt and use some tough talk and get all the details across to the children of Israel. Now, obviously, this is a contradiction that's implicit here. It says, speak softly, and it says, talk tough, and make sure you say everything in a blunt fashion. Relate it as it is. Don't flower things up. You tell them like it is. So which is it? And who is Beis Yaakov, and who is Bnei Yisrael? An obvious question. Of course, the Jewish people are sometimes referred to as Jacob, and sometimes referred to as Israel. And sometimes we're a house, and sometimes we're a nation, and sometimes we're a people. But why would you refer to us in two very different ways, using terminology like house or children, and then two different names, Jacob and Israel, when in fact, it's the same verse, and this is the same message. So why would God speak with a proverbial forked tongue, giving him two messages at the same time? So Rashi says, quoting the Mechilta and the Medrash, that there is a very important lesson that's being broadcast and conveyed to us. That God gave the Torah to all the Jewish people, but God recognized the differences between men and women. And God said, there are two genders. That's what God said. He addressed two genders, men and women. And they were addressed differently. Koisoymar, God says, Beloshon hazeh, in this language. Uchesedir hazeh, use this language, use this syntax, use this order. And what is the order? The order is Leves Yankiv. The first thing is to the house of Jacob. The first thing is speak to the female members of the Jewish people. And this is Elo HaNoshim, says Rashi. These are the women. And they are the mainstay of the home. And they are the ones that have to hear this first. And Rashi says, he says it's two things. There's the Beis Yankiv and there's the Kaysaymer. It's how you speak and to whom you speak. You're going to speak to the women. And how will you speak? You'll speak Toymar Lohen B'Loshon Raka. You will speak to them softly. And then, V'sageid livnei Yisrael. Who is this? So this obviously, if Beis Yankiv is Elo HaNoshim, then Bnei Yisrael must be the males, the men. And to them, you'll speak bluntly, you'll talk to them, you'll tell them Einshin, you'll tell them punishments, you'll tell them Dikdukim, you'll tell them the exacting details, Pedesh L'Zachorim, this you'll clarify and explain to the men. And Rashi says, the word Tageid, which literally means to relate or to tell, Rashi says this talk is actually alludes to the kind of tone that you'll take. He says, Dvarim hakoshim kigidim, things which are harsh as a bitter herb. There's a certain herb called a gid, and this bitter herb it's bitter. It's not fun. Nobody likes to bite into gidin, these tough vegetables. So he says, that's the way you're going to speak to them. Words which are tough, words which are sharp and detailed. Okay, that's the message. That's the word. And then there's a secondary message for everybody. So the Maharsha says, why was it so important to speak to the women first? And the Maharsha has a very interesting take on this. He says, who is more important, the men or the women? He says, neither, the children. He says, speak to the women because they'll speak to the children. So the Maharsha's perspective, very unique perspective, most of the other commentaries do not subscribe to this, is that here we see emphasize the importance of the children. We know there's a famous Medrash, God says to the Jewish people who will be the guarantors of the Torah, and they said, our rabbis, our prophets, our rabbis, our rabbis, and said, no, good, we'll be. And they came up with all kinds of ideas. The father said, Boneinu Arev Madinu, it's the children. And God says, that I'll take. So since it's the children, he has to convey the message to whoever will convey it to the children. So that is the approach of the Maharsha. And the tour takes a totally different approach here also. He says this is not talking about males and females at all. It's talking about speak to the Jews who are before you and speak to the future of the nation. And the Tur maintains that Beit Yaakov is the way we refer to the Jewish people, especially going forward into the exilic reality of the future. And Bnei Yisrael is Bnei Yisrael Yoytzim Biyadrama. These are the children of Israel who left Mitzrayim now. And so, according to the Torah, first speak to the future, then speak to the present. First make sure there's a tomorrow. Which very much kind of fits snugly into the way God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu even before they leave Mitzrayim. They didn't leave yet. They didn't yet celebrate their emancipation. They're coming into their own as a nation. And God says, you know, you can have children. They're going to be asking questions. And these are not friendly questions. Harsh questions, challenging questions, difficult questions. We have two psukim that talk about the Ben Harasha and the wicked child who's not interested in listening. We didn't go anywhere yet. We didn't even leave Mitzrayim yet, and already we're talking about the future generation that will question the premise of the foundations of our faith. So these are different approaches, and I wanted to share that with you. However, the primary mainstream approach is that it is talking about men and women, and that supremacy and emphasis is given specifically to the women. First tell the women, then you'll tell the men. And, of course, a very different way of speaking. So let's take a look now in the Birum of the Rebbe to understand this in a little more of a profound fashion. I'm going to direct you to page Samaches. And it's entry Tesvav, which is number 15. The Rebbe does not quote the Rashi here, but rather the Rebbe quotes the source of Rashi, which is the Mechilta, at least one of the sources of Rashi. And when you'll look in the Mechilta, you'll see that Rashi actually conflates the two interpretations as a single tapestry. He makes them one. But the Mechilta gives you two different ideas. He gives you two possibilities. Let's take a look inside. Koyseimer lebeis Yaakov, this is the way you'll speak to the house of Jacob. Says the Mechilta, Elo hanoshim. This means, first speak to the women. V'sagid levnei Yisrael, talk to or tell the sons of Israel, Elo hanoshim. This refers to the men, number one. That's straight up. This is, Moshe Rabbeinu is getting a dual instruction here. Broadly speaking, tell the people of Israel, tell the nation. Specifically, speak softly to the women, tell it to the men. Dover Acher. Another thing. Koisoymer lebeis Yaakov. Emphasis here now on Koisoymer. This is what you should say. You speak softly. Beloshen Rako. Use gentle verbiage. What does this mean, gentle verbiage? God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu about syntax and style and not substance? No, Michilta says. This is about substance too. You give the general overall picture, the overarching ideas of Judaism, the general principles of faith and the ethos of Judaism. Talk to them in general terminology. And when you're going to talk to the children of Israel, you need to tell it to them. Tell them like it is. You know, nobody speaks you off; they tell you off. Right? It's a tough talk, and you tell him, yet you tell him. As much as you tell him, Moshe. What do you mean you tell him? To daktik imayim. You be exacting. You be demanding. You get into the details with them. Otherwise, you know, the men never see the details. Okay? You tell them the details. So the Rebbe asks a question about this Mechilta. The Mechilta clearly divides these two ideas into two separate teachings. The first teaching is, this is about gender, men and women, period. The second teaching is Davar Acher. Davar Acher means another interpretation, another way of learning, another message. So the Rebbe says, Madua Mechalek es HaMechilta es HaDavar L'moshnei Pirushim. Why do you have to divide this into two interpretations? I mean, Rashi seems to have the right idea. Why couldn't
one differentiate between men and women as well? Or just, you know,
the second one, it seems, would certainly be differentiating. Because otherwise it's just confusing. Speak softly and tell them off. Well, who? Which one? So clearly you would have to have one group you're addressing one way and another group you're addressing another way. It's self-understood that if you have different approaches, you have to have different target audiences.
So why is it two interpretations?
This is the Rebbe's question. This is the Rebbe's question. It's exactly what the Rebbe's asking, Nathan. It seems abundantly clear that these interpretations flow one into the other. Why does the Mechilta say davar acher, another thing, something different? It's one and the same. L'cha'era, ostensibly speaking, it's harchava opirut shel apirut tradition. This is but a development. This is but an elucidation of what you said initially. Initially you said, your target audience is the woman. Your target audience is the men. Well, what's the difference? I'm going to say the same thing twice, but I should say it first to the women and then to the men? Well, no. You should say it differently. You should speak softly and gently when you speak to the women, and you should tell the men off. You just give them straight talk. It seems to be one thing, ultimately. V'yesh leimer. So the Rebbe suggests that the deeper message of the Mechilta is as follows. Hamachlekes meshnei apirushim, the different approaches, the differing approaches between these two different teachings, is negas lesibas hachaluka leshnei amiras, is actually hinges on why there's a difference. Why make a difference between the genders? Why speak one way to the women and another way to the men? Why indeed? Lepirush harishon, according to the first interpretation, hachaluka leshnei amiras, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu should divide his message and speak in two different ways, is because he has a need to communicate. And communication has to take into account the recipient of the message. If you're communicating, but the recipient has no idea of what you're saying, you're not communicating. You're talking to yourself. Communication requires bringing, it brings to the table an understanding of to who I'm communicating. A very simple level, if I'm speaking to the language you don't understand, I'm wasting my time. And a more profound level, if I'm trying to be a communicator, I need to understand my audience. If I don't understand my audience, I'm not going to be conveying a message to them. They don't get it. There are some people that are gifted communicators, which means they're able to relate to an audience. It's not so easy to relate to an audience. And when it's an enormous crowd and there's lights in your eyes, you can't relate to an audience at all. So then you can only guess. Or you can get some advanced information as to who your audience is. And once you know who your audience is, you can craft a message that works for that audience. But when people are engaging, I'm not talking about the kind of communication, mass communication, where there's just lights and you don't see anybody. But you're actually talking to people, you need to engage the people. So if you're talking and everybody's yawning and rolling their eyes, there's a good chance you're not communicating. Now, it may not be your fault. They may have no interest whatsoever in what you have to say. So what does the good communicator do? Make them interested. You better have a joke up your sleeve. I'm serious. Or a story. Or at least something that's going to get their attention. Because if you don't grab their attention now, you lost them. When they do happen to clue back in 5 minutes from now, when they return from the trip around the world in 22 minutes, they even don't know how you got here. They're on your page. So what is he talking about? Of course you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't listen to the word I said. So you better stop and get your message across. And professional communicators actually do that. They read their audience. So Moshe Rabbeinu is told, communicate. Even though he wasn't the greatest communicator. He was this seamless entity, this transparent entity from through whom God's word came. Yet, maybe this is the only time Moshe Rabbeinu is actually told to communicate. We don't find Moshe Rabbeinu being told by God, take your audience into account. He never takes his audience into account. It's tough luck on the audience. You guys figure it out. That was our job to figure out. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling you the word of Hashem. How about the Pharaoh? Moshe didn't communicate to the Pharaoh. He spoke at him, not to him. He freaked him out. He melted him. And then Aaron came along and said, Pharaoh, let me explain to you what Moses just said. Moses was never a communicator. This is the one time God says to Moses, you need to communicate. And therefore, when you'll speak to women, speak in their language. They need to understand you. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to speak la'anoshim v'la'noshim, to men and to women. And there's two different ways in which you relate. If you look carefully at the way the Rebbe speaks when the Rebbe would address the woman on occasion, and the men would be upstairs in the gallery, and the women would be downstairs. If you look, you see that the Rebbe's voice is different, his tone is different, his syntax is different. Oftentimes, his face is even different. It's different. And the Rebbe was very much like Moshe Rabbeinu and didn't communicate with his audience. He didn't do any theatrics whatsoever. The Rebbe gave the message pure and unadulterated. The emphasis was on the content, never on the style. Not that he couldn't, because there were times when the Rebbe communicated in a stylistic fashion, but very rarely. It's almost always everything was all about substance, not style. It was everybody else's job to bring the message. The Hasidim were people who committed themselves to matching and marrying themselves to the Rebbe's style, not the other way around. But nonetheless, you could see they did to some degree communicate, meaning speak to the audience. When they ever spoke to children, it was also different. It's all, emphasis is always on substance, not style, but still it was different. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is told you must communicate. Now let's think about this, why? What's Moshe Rabbeinu going to be talking about now? He's not going to give them, right now, the principles of Torah per se. He's trying to sell them on the Torah. He's getting them ready. Matan Torah is happening in a few days. He needs to get them to buy in. So it's not just about information. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is actually supposed to communicate. He's supposed to say, let me bring you into this. You need to be a part of this so that on the sixth day of Sivan, when the mountain explodes, proverbially, you're going to be there. You're going to appreciate this. You're going to want to listen. You're going to want to absorb and understand the message. And then Moshe Rabbeinu subsequently will always be speaking and giving the word of Hashem. But here it was a little different. It's a warm-up act. He's engaging the people. Men and women hear differently. They absorb messages differently. The truth is that in every audience, people will always hear the message differently, especially the men and women in the audience will hear the message differently. That's the way God made us. We function on a different wavelength. Ve'ilu. So that's the first interpretation. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told, what he was told is, make sure you communicate this time. Take your audience into account and speak in a way which is effective for them. Make sure they are able to best appreciate this message, and therefore you cannot speak to the men and women together. This is too important. You're going to have to speak to each gender individually. Ve'ilu lefi pirush hasheni, according to the second interpretation, right? Because the Mechilta says davar acher. Sibas hachaluka, the reason of this division, humishum shaseider haroy la'amidas divrei Torah. God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu about the way he should communicate, the kind of communication it should be. Namely, first you give them foundational principles, what's called Rashi Dvarim, headlines. And after you gave the general principles, where you conveyed everything in headlines, in bullet form, then we move into details. And the details, of course, come from the headlines. The bullet points are what you first come to say. We're talking about six things today. Here's the bullet points. A, B, C, D, six things. Okay. Now let's go back to those six things. Let's talk about the details. That's the way you communicate. Effective communication necessarily always requires a general overview and then going into details. And since that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu here is also being told, first speak about the generality, the plurality of the message, and then go into the details. So then why is it divided between genders? It seems, says the Rebbe, that headlines and general principles are more relevant for women, but the details, the nitty-gritty, is more relevant for men. Why would that be? Why would, if any way when you communicate, you give first headlines, and then you and bullet point form, and then you go into details after, why would that fall on the fault lines of the genders? So the Rebbe says clearly, for the women, the bullet points will work well, not for the men. And for the men, it's the details that are going to work best. And why is this? So here is the Rebbe's explanation. The Rebbe says this is dafka ma'alos and shal nashim. This emphasizes the virtue, not the dimrit, but the virtue of the women. Somebody could read this and say, oh yeah, the women just tell the general stuff. They're not going to be able to sweat the details. No, this is the Rebbe. The emphasis here is on this is what they need to hear because of their virtue. How does that work out? Ha-halachahi, the rule is, shahashayachas la'am Yisrael, pardon me, the shaychus, the connection to Am Yisrael. What makes you Jewish? What makes you Jewish? Your mother. It's nikvas al piyayim. V'ilu ha-shaychus l'chalakim sh'ayinim b'seich b'nei Yisrael, but the connection to a specific persuasion within the Jewish people. Now, I'm not talking about superficial labels which mean nothing. I'm talking about real distinctions. Like Kohanim, like Leviim, like Yisraelim, who have different mitzvahs, different responsibilities, different abilities. Who decides that? What decides if you're a Kohen Levi or Israel? The father. Nikvas al piyav. Hasibu l'kach, the reason for this is, ha-kesher ha-kloli v'abasisi b'nei Yehudi v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The primary, the foundational, the principal connection between God and the Jewish people, between you and I and our Creator, is, which makes us Jewish or not, mizbata betchunas klolis, it expresses itself in general ways, overarching ways. It's things like emuna, things like faith. It's things like yiras Hashem, being respectful and reverential towards God, v'chadayma. And where is that seen more? Where does faith resonate more powerfully? Where does reverence and awe for God, where is it felt more? The Rebbe says, it's begoli by noshim. It's more obvious. It's clearer when you're dealing with the female part of the Jewish people. That's why being Jewish, which represents the general notion of being Jewish, comes through the mother. Ba'anoshim, by men, conversely, the connection with God breaks itself down into details. It's the details. The devil, as they say, is in the details. Not the devil. God's in the details. It's the details that create that bond, that connection. And because for the males, it's about the details, that's why it's through Ha'av, it's through the father, that the details of your Jewishness are established, meaning Kohen Levi Israel. U'me'acha sha'akesher ha'kloli. And since the general overriding connection between the Jewish people and between God is established by the mother, not the father. So therefore, God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, make sure you give the general message to the women. Because when it comes to the basic principles, when it comes to foundational faith, when it comes to the ideals and ideas, when in the notion of reverence for Hashem, the woman, they will resonate with that. They'll get that. You speak to them in those terms, they're with you. V'ilu ha-pratim, when you get into the details, that's something you have to direct primarily towards the men, because behem tluim chiluke hadargas hashenis. You talk about the nuts and bolts, the little screws, the popular mechanics of Judaism. For this, you have to speak to the men. That will resonate with them more. Now, obviously, there's a range of people. And within the range of masculine, there are men who are very masculine and men who lean more towards the feminine side, the more feminine men. And when it comes to women, there are women who are very feminine and there are women who are more masculine-like, but there still is a line. And that line is not supposed to be crossed, regardless of what society says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah says that there are men and there are women. And at the end of the day, you're Jewish because of who your mother is, and the details come from your father. And that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu introduced the Torah to the Jewish people, talking about overriding principles of faith and reverence, first to the women, and then he moved on to the details and addressed himself primarily to the men. Now we know a little bit about how they got ready for Matan Torah and the intrinsic difference between men and women.